This audio is brought to you by MuslimCentral.com.
Okay, alhamdulillahi rabbil alameen. As-salatu was-salam ala ashrafil anbiya'i wal mursaleen wa ala alihi wa sahbihi ajma'in amma ba'd. Ayyuha al-ikhwatul kiram, assalamu alaykum wa rahmatullah. Wa nasallahu ta'ala an yataqabbal minna wa yaghfir lana dhunubana wa yukaffir anna sayyi'atina. Nas'aluhu bi'ilman nafi' ورزقا واسع وعليه نتوكل وإليه المصير ولا حول ولا قوة إلا بالله العلي العظيم. Praise be to Allah, Lord of the worlds, peace and blessings on His Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wasallam. After salams and the rahmah of Allah upon you all, brothers and sisters, we ask Allah to accept from us, to forgive us, to give us of to nourish us with beneficial knowledge and understanding, and give us wide sustenance. On Him we are utterly dependent, to Him is our return, and there is no power and might except that of Allah. Carrying on with the hadith number 18, الذي رواه الترمذي وفيه روي عن النبي صلى الله عليه وسلم فيه قال. اتق الله حيثما كنت واتبع السيئه الحسنه تمحوها وخالق الناس بخلق الحسن. هذا حديث ضعيف كما قلت لكم in the previous majalis, in the lessons. This hadith, which is weak, reported from the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. That's what we're still on. Although, as we said before, even though it is reported that the Prophet ﷺ said this, that be have taqwa in Allah wherever you may be, follow up a bad deed with a good one and it will wipe it out, and behave good towards people. What we said before, and let me repeat, each of these three elements are confirmed in the Quran and the Sunnah without the need for the weak hadith. But since they've been mentioned here, we've gone separately and found support for that idea, plentiful in the Quran, plentiful in authentic hadith as well, all three of them. Taqwa we discussed last time, we discussed about good deeds wiping out bad ones. And I said I would leave the last part to this time, which is behaving with good etiquette. وَخَالِقِ النَّاسِ بِخُلُقِ الْحَسَنِ, as the hadith, which is not authentic, says. But this idea of behavior, good behavior towards others, is the, after belief in Allah, is the very essence of this deen, is it not? In fact, many people, as Ibn Rajab also said as well, many people think that taqwa is about your prayers and fasting and your relationship, fulfilling what Allah has ordained you to do. And they mean usually from the ibadat, and haven't many people reduced Islam, for those who practice even that part, to the five pillars, rather than that Islam is built on five pillars. Yeah. And that's what Ibn Rajab's trying to say. Many people made taqwa into just that. But what they don't realize is that taqwa is very much the core and center of behavior towards people. Yeah, muttaqi is not only those who fulfill the ibadat and then they behave terribly with others, starting at home with the family and widening out to society, Muslim and non-Muslim, with animals, to the environment. All that is a reflection of the taqwa that is inside. Yeah? So, That's one aspect of it. There are others who reduce taqwa to superficialities. Yeah. who reduced taqwa, oh, mashallah, he's muttaqi, she's muttaqi. Why? Because, oh, look, he's got a long beard, he's wearing a topi, and he's got a jalabiya on. Yeah. It must be really saintly person. So in appearances, yeah, or mashallah, she's wearing the hijab or wearing the niqab, and those who don't get the opposite treatment, don't they? They can have no element of taqwa in them because the beard's too short, or haven't got a jalabi on or a topi on their heads, or they're not wearing even the hijab or the niqab. And actually, taqwa is being reduced, therefore, to just appearances. Yeah, but what we're talking about here is that the core of taqwa, no doubt, is something in the heart. But why is it mentioned in the heart? So that people don't judge for superficialities, the appearances that Allah knows. Secondly, so that people don't become full of themselves as well. Yeah. Full of themselves as well, because real taqwa is only between you and Allah, and Allah only knows whether you are muttaqi. Yeah. فَلَا تُزَكُّوا أَنفُسَكُمْ هُوَ أَعْلَمُ بِمَنِ اتَّقَى. Yeah. Allah says in the Quran, so don't think yourselves as praiseworthy and so wonderful. Yeah. Zakah here means madh, praising oneself. Yeah. Or thinking yourself as pure. Yeah. فَلَا تُزَكُّوا أَنفُسَكُمْ. Yeah, don't think of yourself as all this. Allah is best aware, yeah, those who are full of this piety and taqwa. He's best aware. And even when the Prophet ﷺ, a hadith we're going to come to later on, but it's relevant to mention here as well, that many places you will find to break this idea of taqwa being something either just inside or taqwa being just relationship with God, many places in the Quran and ahadith come where taqwa comes combined and intertwined with behavior towards others. Yeah, with behavior towards others. And not just something in mid-air dangling. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, for example, when Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala mentions about, a verse I mentioned before, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, وَسَارِعُوا إِلَى مَغْفِرَةٍ مِّن رَبِّكُمْ وَجَنَّةٍ أَرْضُهَا كَأَرْضِ السَّمَاءِ وَالْأَرْضِ وَجَنَّةٍ أَرْضُهَا السَّمَاوَاتِ وَالْأَرْضِ أُعِدَّتْ لِلْمُتَّقِينَ. When Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala begins with this verse, that race all of you, rush all of you, run all of you to the forgiveness of your Lord. And a paradise whose its expanse is like the heavens and the earth. U'iddat lil-muttaqeen. Yeah, that has been prepared for those who are muttaqeen. It doesn't stop there. Now it explains who muttaqeen are. Yeah. U'iddat lil-muttaqeen. Alladhina yunfiquna fi s-sarra'i wad-dharra'. Those who spend in prosperity and in adversity. Spend means giving to others. Yunfiquna fi s-sarra'i wad-dharra'i wal-kaazimeen al-ghayd wal-'aafina 'anil-naas. Those who control their anger. This is all to do with behavior, isn't it? In fact, we talked about hadith before about controlling anger, and we mentioned this ayah then as well, didn't we? Which is all about character. Spending and helping others in expenditure is about good character and behavior. Yeah. Controlling the anger when getting angry is about good behavior. Well, kalzimin al ghayb, wal afina al-nas, pardoning other people. Yeah, pardoning them. That's without them asking and saying sorry to you or forgiving. So pardoning other people, wal afina al-nas. So these here, even in this these ayat, you see how taqwa is being explained further by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. If you look at Ayatul Birr, which is famous, ayat number 177 in Surah Al-Baqarah, where Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala mentions qualities of believers, Yeah, the one which begins with Laysa al-birra an tuwallu wujuhakum qibla al-mashriqi wal-maghribi. Yeah, righteousness isn't only turning your faces to the east or the west. ولكن البر من آمن بالله واليوم الآخر والملائكة والكتاب والنبيين وآت المال على حبه ذوي القربى واليتامى والمساكين. And it carries on. Yeah. But righteousness is, yeah, then it mentions the articles of faith and belief. But then it goes on to behavior about giving of the wealth. Yeah, out of love for Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to near one's relatives, to the poor and to the orphans, and yeah. And then it carries on with those who keep their promises, those who have patience at time of adversity, etc. And it ends by saying this is all behavior, which is a reflection of a state of the seed inside in the heart of Iman. So at the end of this ayah, after mentioning all this kind of behavior, Allah says, أُولَٰئِكَ هُمُ الْمُتَّقُونَ. Yeah, such are those who are the ones who are mindful of Allah. Such are those who are full of taqwa. Yeah. And if you remember, when we did the first lesson in this hadith, I also mentioned hadith, which is in Tirmidhi from Abu Huraira, radiallahu anhu, which was an authentic hadith to show you that the idea is in other hadith about taqwa, as in this the weak hadith, and about good character. In that hadith, Abu Hurairah says, "Qala su'ila Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wasallam an aksari ma yudkhilun nas al jannah." You remember this hadith that the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wasallam was asked about that the thing which most leads to entering human beings into paradise, yeah, by which they entered into paradise. So the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, "Taqwallahi wa husnul khuluq." Taqwallahi wa husnul khuluq. Having taqwa in Allah and good behavior, husnul khuluq, good adab, good etiquette, good behavior. Yeah. So you see how taqwa is intertwined with that, yeah. Even in that hadith, the idea is brought out as well. Further, to have taqwa, its reflection is brought out in behavior. And as I said, there's a hadith that we haven't done yet, which is coming later on, which mentioned in the center of it, the Prophet says, "Attaqwa hahuna wa yushiru ila sadrihi bi thalatha marra." Taqwa is here, and he pointed to his breast three times, the heart. Okay, but that's not all he said. All around it gives an explanation of what that means. It doesn't mean, this is to counter those who put taqwa in superficialities and appearances, to say it's not what you think, just in appearances of people. But the core of taqwa is in a wholesome, sincere, and good heart, which is sincere to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. But its consequences are those which are mentioned in the rest of this particular hadith, which we're going to cover later, which is all about behavior towards others. Yeah? Behavior towards others. لا تحاسدوا ولا تناجشوا ولا تباغضوا. That's how the hadith begins. Yeah? Don't be envious of one another. Don't inflate prices to one another. Don't hate one another. Yeah? Don't turn your backs on one another. Yeah, وَكُونُوا عِبَادَ اللَّهِ إِخْوَانًا, and all slaves or servants of Allah, be brothers and sisters of one another. And the hadith carries on about behavior again. Yeah, so see how it revolves around taqwa again. So that hadith is going to come later. And of course, the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, he said, and this hadith I mentioned earlier as well, to do with good character and what weight it has in the hereafter. The Prophet said hadith which is reported by Abi Darda, and it is a hadith in Tirmidhi which is authentic, Hasan al-Sahih, as Tirmidhi himself said. The Messenger of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, "Ma shay'un athqalu fi mizan al-mu'min yawm al-qiyamah." There is nothing which is more heavier on the scales on the day of judgment for a believer, min khuluqin hasan. Nothing more heavier than good behavior, good morals, good etiquettes. Wa inna Allaha la yabghadul fahisha al-bathi. An example of bad behavior, which is opposite, Prophet gives one example. For surely Allah hates the one who uses foul, filthy words in speaking. This hadith I mentioned before as well, yes? But notice here the point about husnul khuluq, yeah? Good behavior, good morals, having such is the most weightiest things on the day of judgment. And the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam further, as you know, said, "Inna ma bu'ithu li utammima makarim al akhlaq," or fi riwayatin, "li utammima salih al akhlaq." I have only been sent, "Inna ma bu'ith," to perfect and complete the good morals. لِأُتَمِّمَ مَكَارِمَ الْأَخْلَاقِ, or noble morals, or kind behavior. I've been sent to make it even better, even if it's there. To take it to the best level. And when he's asked about his character, which is famous, many of you will know from Ummul Mu'mineen Aisha radiallahu anha, from Tabi'i and a Sahabi who come with him to ask her about the prayer of the Prophet at night, they first start by asking about his character. The Prophet, his character. And the answer is, "Kana khuluquhu al-Qur'an," from Ummul Mu'mineen Aisha radhiyallahu anha, that his character was the Qur'an. That's what the Prophet was, which also indicates to you what the Qur'an was sent for. Yeah? The Qur'an was sent to mold us. So the Prophet exemplified that molding from the Qur'an to show how to implement the Qur'an in life. So about character, there's an example par excellence of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. In another hadith, the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam says, which is in Ahmad Abu Dawood, Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, "Akmalul mu'minina imanan," the most complete mu'min. Yeah, in iman, the most complete believer, complete in iman. He says imanan, mu'min already is one who has iman, but the most complete one, and having this iman, is ahsanuhum khuluqan, is the one who is best from them in their behavior and manners. Ahsanuhum khuluqan, wa khayaruhum, but he added more, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. وَخِيَارُهُمْ خَيَارُهُمْ لِنِسَائِهِمْ, and the best of them amongst the men. Now the Prophet starts from talking, because the context tells you the second part. The best of them are the best of those who are best to their wives. The best of them are those who are best to their wives in behavior, in other words, in their character. And how poignant is that? The stress on the men and how they should be with their wives. In another hadith, the Prophet ﷺ said, when he was asked, this is a hadith in Ahmad and Nasa'i and Ibn Majah, they said, "Ya Rasulullah, O Messenger of Allah, ma afdalu ma u'tiya al-mar'u al-muslim," what is the most virtuous thing what is the most virtuous thing that a Muslim person has been given? Yeah. What is meaning, what is full of virtue? In other words, that's what is afdal, what is the best thing? Qala Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, al-khuluqul hasan, which fits with the other hadith, actually, that I've already mentioned as well, about it being the heaviest thing on the day of Jinn. And the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, it is, al-khuluqul hasan. It is good manners, good behavior. Yeah? That is what is going to be most beneficial and virtuous for a Muslim. So you see, all this, all these hadiths are mentioning the same idea this weak hadith is mentioning. So we don't, the weak hadith is superfluous. We don't need it. It's being mentioned many times in authentic hadith, and it's clear in the Quran as well about what Islam and Iman is and taqwa is really all about. So personal khuluq, good behavior and good manners, something like I talk about a lot in my khutbas, whether at the mosque or whether at the schools with the youth. Because really, that is the essence. When we're surrounded by so much bad behavior, and I don't mean everybody, but there's plenty of it, immorality and bad behavior around, from foul behavior to foul language, as we know, we're surrounded by it. And, you know, whether it's a workplace or whether it's in the out in the shopping centers or in the playgrounds or whether it's in university or schools, wherever you go, you've got this. In business, in workplace, in every aspect, you've got the negative behavior. So good behavior, good manners is both in qawl and fi'l, in speech and how we behave. How we behave. In fact, and why the Prophet ﷺ mentioned taqwa being in the heart, because he's trying to say the core of it is to do with your heart. If you've got a corrupt heart, then it's going to show in your behavior. And if you've got a heart which is full of iman, and it's supple and fresh and not become hardened through sinning and sinning. And by the way, sinning and sinning and sinning doesn't mean that it can never be freshened again. And that's the idea of tawbah, isn't it? If a person killing 100 people can refreshen their heart, then we've got plenty of opportunity and a great chance, haven't we? La taqnatu min rahmatillah. As the Quran says, Allah Subhanahu wa Taala says, never despair in the mercy of Allah. So it can become supple and soft and alive rather than dead again. And gloomy. So the idea is that a supple, fresh, and heart full of life, iman, and sincerity, that will also pour out that sincerity in the behavior that it does and how it behaves with whatever and whoever he or she encounters. That's the idea of husnul khuluq. So husnul khuluq, as many ulama said, Ibn Rajab said the same thing, it's a proactive thing. That's my words, proactive. Why do I say proactive? Because it's not just about sitting behind my desk and studying and keep myself aloof in a cave or a room or a house and never interacting with people and say, I've got husnul khuluq. Husnul khuluq is how you interact with others. And if you're never going to meet others, then how can you have husnul khuluq? So Islam did come. If Islam's core and essence after belief is husnul khuluq, it means we came to interact in society and not leave society to the devil. Not leave society to the devil. But we have a duty and onus on us to bring our values and the truth of Allah's guidance and through our character and behavior, share that light with others, We have a responsibility to do that. However coarse and terrible they may be, and not be judgmental and send them to hellfire before the day of judgment has even come. And even when the day of judgment comes, we are no in position to send anybody to hellfire. So condemnation is not the way, but sympathy and empathy for a people around us who may not have seen the light, to share that light of truth. And that is through our behavior with others, interacting with others. It is about not only proactively being good with others, going out the way to be kind, considerate, helpful, say a good word, give a smile, ask somebody how they are, ask them if they need any help, and actually help them, not just empty words, but also to hold back from harming people. It's not that we're all this superficial niceties when actually somebody says, actually you can help me, could you do a shopping for me? Then we say, I was just saying it. That's not husnul khuluq, is it? That's just words. That's hypocrisy of character. Lima taquluna ma la taf'alun. Ya ayyuhalladhina amanu, lima taquluna ma la taf'alun. Why do you say that which you do not do? Kabura maqtan 'indallahi an taqulu ma la taf'alun. It is most hateful before Allah that you say that which you do not do. So it's not in these superficialities. It actually counts when somebody needs you, and then you are actually able to do something. Not then you say, "Oh, I'm sorry, I'm too busy." As a tendency for the societies that we live in, that's so busy with running after business, running after work, everybody's busy. And if you go to the major cities, it gets worse, doesn't it? It's a rat. You feel the rat race if you go on the tube underground in London, and not just London, any major city, where people have become impersonal. They become like machines and robots. People have lost that human feeling and touch even before we have religion. But Deen al-Islam, and it's affected Muslims as well, who've ended up in that kind of environment. But somebody was asking me some advice yesterday, a young man still at school, and I felt so sorry for him. And he was saying that he's surrounded at his school by all it is foul. Everybody is into swearing, bad behavior, bad words, drinking, doing everything. And he's finding it difficult because he's got nobody he can find who has got the same ideas of belief in Allah and to pray and to be a good Muslim anywhere near him. In fact, his best friends, two are non-Muslims. One's a Muslim who's now claiming to have left Islam and started drinking and boozing. Which one came first, I don't know. So he was saying, these are my best friends. So I gave him advice, and I won't tell you and bore you with all the stuff I went through with him. But one of the things I said to him, many, many people, and I feel for you, and may Allah give you strength. It requires real istiqamah and spine and backbone to stand your ground. But you need to have contact and friendship with others who are, and there are people like you. And our job is to try and find others. Find others to bolster them and not give up, as I said to him, on those friends, and not throw them away, and don't give up just because that Muslim has said the things he said. But you yourself need something to plug into and charge. Good company. Otherwise, shaitan will wear you down as well. So anyway, the idea of good character is also about, and not just when it's all nice, then I'm nice. As soon as somebody pokes a finger at me or swears at me, I take off my, I take off my topi, but I take off my, or I put on my boxing gloves or take them off and take off my jacket and start beating the hell out of somebody. Or if he's sworn, I make sure I swear 10 times at that person, Well, that's not husnul khuluq, is it? That's not husnul khuluq. So it is about the others holding back, even when it becomes difficult for you. And that's not so easy to do. That takes you to a different level, of course. Yeah, that takes you to a different level of returning a bad turn with a good turn. Yeah, and that requires really iman and taqwa, doesn't it, brothers and sisters? May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala give us that kind of iman. Husnul khuluq, of course, then is all about honesty, yeah, kindness, mercy, forgiveness, pardoning, not losing it, not getting over angry and causing harm to others, caring for animals, caring for the environment, yeah, all while worshipping Allah and keeping Allah, remembering Allah, yeah, and being just, being honest, standing for that with just and honest against injustice where we're able to, and if we're not able to have sabr, yeah, while striving with fortitude to hold on to the very foundation of principles of our deen and its values, not to sell them for paltry gain and throw them down the river. Yeah, I'm praying five times a day and I'm speaking good and everything until I come across a girlfriend or a boyfriend who I really fancy. So now that I've started going out with the girlfriend, everything gets thrown out the window. Yeah, or somebody's convinced me that these drugs is fine and the company I keep, to keep good friends with them, I have to go also to the pub as well or to wherever and do the things that they're doing. Yeah, that's not husnul khuluq. That's called cowardice and not having a backbone. Difficult, yes, it is difficult. But the rewards for those who face those kind of difficulties to uphold to these values of good behavior and morals, which are going to be heavy on the scales of justice, yeah, the greater the effort, the greater the reward, and the heavier those good deeds are going to be, brothers and sisters, are they not? Now, I could say much more on that, but that was just to summarize it for you. I said to you last time, I wanted finally, since this hadith mentions about good deeds wiping away sins, Sheikh Zarabozo does this. He takes 10 ways in which sins can be wiped out from us and we can be forgiven. 10 ways in which. And he actually got this from Ibn Taymiyyah, rahimahullah, from the 8th century Hijri, the great Ibn Taymiyyah, the teacher of Imam Ibn al-Qayyim, who was also a great scholar in his own right, both of them from the Hanabila school of thought, but mujtahids in their own sense, so went often with the opinions outside the Hanbali school to other opinions, which was stronger in their view based on the Quran and Sunnah. And Ibn Taymiyyah, I thought, rather than sharing what has been summarized by Zarabozo, Sheikh Zarabozo, in his book when he contemplates in the hadith, I'll go back to the source itself, which is about 30, 40 pages in his book, Majmu' al-Fatawa, the compendium of his legal opinions, Ibn Taymiyyah, this is in volume 7. So I took the extract from that and looked at that directly instead. And in the last 20 minutes, half an hour, I want to share with you. And I will summarize it again because it's here in about, as I said, 30, 40 pages or so of the 10 ways that Ibn Taymiyyah mentions. But he mentions it in a context. And I want you to know briefly that context. His context, why he was discussing about, is about those who came not from Ahle Sunnah wal Jama'ah, the Khawarij and the Mu'tazila, who basically misunderstood and broke the very foundation sometimes of Islam and became very dangerous people. Khawarij especially were very dangerous. Mu'tazila made intellect and often philosophical, rational ideas overtake the ideas from Quran and Sunnah, and that caused big problems for them and any of those who followed them. And the Khawarij were dangerous in a sense, and both of them believed, for example, and this is why he came up with the idea, Ibn Taymiyyah, of 10 ways of sins being wiped out, because Khawarij believed clearly as a fundamental principle that if a Muslim, a believer, commits a kaba'ir, a major sin, they become kafir. They become kafir, yeah? And they will abide in hellfire forever and ever, yeah? Their idea was that they have to do tawbah and do the shahada again, yeah? Mu'tazila, and in fact, that's the idea they had, and aside from other dangerous ideas, and anybody who didn't agree with them, whether it was Imam Ali and the Sahaba, the Tabi'een, they called them kuffar as well. And they sent one of their cronies, Ibn Muljim, to kill Ali. And he killed Ali, radiallahu anhu, who was the fourth Khalifa. Yeah. This Ibn Muljim is well known to be pious and muttaqi, because they used to pray a lot, all the Khawarij, and fast a lot, and read the Quran a lot. But as the Prophet ﷺ already had warned in Hadith, they weren't only in the past. The Khawarij is an idea, yeah, and a behavior, yeah, a judgmental behavior to others, which involves killing even. And that's why they believe that these people should be killed, like Ali and all the followers of Ali, Muawiyah and all the followers of Muawiyah, that's what they believe. And Ali actually, therefore, did fight them and defeat them in their places, their idea. But the idea has to, came again and again throughout the century, as it has it shown its ugly head even today. And it's a corrupt idea. So he's countering that idea that actually sins can be forgiven. So even without tawbah, sins can be forgiven. Yeah, and these are the various ways sins can be forgiven according to the Quran and Sunnah, 10 ways. And that's his point he's trying to make. He says, Mu'tazila said, we don't call them Muslim, yeah, mu'min, and we don't call them kafir. Yeah, we call them fasiq. Yeah, they call manzilatu bayna manzilatayn, a place between the two positions of believer and kafir, they're in the middle. But in reality, they still believe that this person is going to go to hellfire forever and ever, to not be forgiven until they do tawbah and come back to Iman. So this is the background, and he has a lot of discussion about this issue before he comes to presenting the 10 ways in which sins can be forgiven. So let's go to the 10 ways in which sins can be forgiven. He says, from the Quran and Sunnah, first of those, he said, is tawbah. He said, this is agreed upon by all the Muslims. And we've clarified that when we talked about taqwa, and especially when we talked about forgiveness of bad deeds being wiped out by good deeds. We also talked at that time about tawbah as well. Yeah. In the last session, I talked much about tawbah and sincere tawbah. Yeah. And we showed in the last lesson to you how sincere tawbah, yeah, wipes away the sin. Yeah, as though it doesn't exist. Yeah. Even shirk. That's why Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, as I mentioned last time, and Ibn Taymiyyah mentioned this ayah here as well, قل يا عبادي يا عبادي الذين أسرفوا على أنفسهم لا تقنطوا من رحمة الله إن الله يغفر الذنوب جميعا إنه هو الغفور الرحيم. Say, as I mentioned last time, my slaves, those who have committed excesses against themselves, sinned in other words, do not despair from the mercy of Allah. Surely Allah forgives all sins. يَغْفِرُ الذُّنُوبَ جَمِيعًا إِنَّهُ هُوَ الْغَفُورُ الرَّحِيمُ. Surely he is the oft-forgiving, most merciful. That is not a contradiction to the ayah, which I also explained to you last time, where Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, إِنَّ اللَّهَ لَا يَغْفِرُ أَن يُشْرَكَ بِهِ وَيَغْفِرُ مَا دُونَ ذَلِكْ لِمَن يَشَاءُ. That surely Allah will not forgive. What is it? لَن يَغْفِرُ إِنَّ اللَّهَ لَا يَغْفِرُ أَن يُشْرَكَ. You know, I did quote it, right? Ayah number 48 from Surah An-Nisa, Surah 4. Surely Allah will not forgive that which, shirk basically, that anybody associates anybody with him, will forgive everything else aside from that. So is that a contradiction, as I said last time, to the other ayah? No, it isn't. This ayah, the latter one I just quoted, is for the one who hasn't done tawbah. Who hasn't done tawbah. Allah will forgive any sins as He wills on the Day of Judgment, even major sins. That's why He said, aside from shirk, even if somebody hasn't done tawbah for them. Yeah, there's the first evidence that cracks against Khawarij and Mu'tazila, yeah, that kaba'ir cannot be forgiven except if somebody does tawbah and does the shahada again, etc. The Quran is telling you here, yeah, wa yaghfiru ma duna dhalik liman yasha. Yeah. Also, what Ibn Taymiyyah did mention is a very relevant verse here. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says in Surah Tahrim, Surah 66, verse 8, he says, يَا أَيُّهَا الَّذِينَ آمَنُوا تُوبُوا إِلَى اللَّهِ تَوْبَةً نَصُوحًا عَسَى رَبُّكُمْ أَن يُكَفِّرَ عَنْكُمْ سَيِّئَاتِكُمْ وَيُدَخِلَكُمْ جَنَّاتٍ تَجْرِي مِنْ تَحْتِهَا الْأَنْهَارِ يَوْمَ لَا يُخْزِي اللَّهُ النَّبِيِّ. And the verse carries on. All you who believe, do tawbah to Allah, a sincere tawbah. Yeah? Asa rabbukum. Asa rabbukum. Remember what I said last week about asa, linked with Allah and Rabb? Perhaps your Lord, an yukaffira ankum, will blot out from you your sins, sayyi'atikum, and enter you into gardens underneath which rivers flows. What does asa rabbukum, perhaps your Lord, what does it indicate here? What did I say last time? Any offers? Hello? Asa, do we translate this really, interpret it as perhaps your Lord will blot out the sins from you and enter you into garden under which river flow? People don't remember? Nobody? Abdullah ibn Abbas, radiallahu anhuma, I mentioned this last time, said when asa, perhaps, when it comes with human beings, it means perhaps, because we are failing on our side. When it's linked with Allah, yeah, it means for surely Allah will blot out, wipe away your sins from you and enter you into gardens underneath which rivers flow. So tawbah, surely Allah will wipe away your sins. This is a promise from Allah. Do we say, oh, not necessarily. No, Allah's making you a promise if you're sincere that Allah will. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, وَهُوَ الَّذِي يَقْبَلُ التَّوْبَةَ عَنْ عِبَادِهِ وَيَعْفُو عَنِ السَّيِّئَاتِ. And it is he who accepts the tawbah, yeah, from his servant and pardons and overlooks, yeah, and pardons from sin. Yeah, accepting the tawbah and pardons sin. So we have many evidences for tawbah as the first thing that can wipe away all sins, not just the small ones, all sins. Yeah. Second, which you'll find interesting, the second he said is istighfar, asking for forgiveness. So the point that's coming to your head, which came to my head as well initially, is I thought it was the same thing, tawbah and istighfar. So let me explain. Why is he separated it? Tawbah, in essence, really means to turn back to Allah. So it means turn back with regret. And because turning back to Allah means that you realize that you've done wrong, it's a nadama, a regret, and try not to do it again. That is tawbah. That is tawbah if it comes together with istighfar. That's its meaning. So when they both come together, tawbah and istighfar. Istighfar is actually making dua to Allah. Ya Allah, forgive me. Ya Allah, forgive me. Oh Allah, forgive me. That's istighfar. Yeah? It is the actual dua. So when they come together, they can be both separated. When they come on their own as tawbah, tawbah then will include turning back to Allah and asking for forgiveness and having regret. And when istighfar comes, it means inherent in that, that you're asking Allah for forgiveness, is that you have regret if it's a sincere istighfar and you don't want to repeat that again. So I hope you understand what I mean. Both are very much interlinked. Yeah. But there is some significant difference in them. Hence, Ibn Taymiyyah mentions them separately. Tawbah, to do with nadama and regret and turning back and stopping. And istighfar, pleading with Allah, Ya Allah, forgive me. Yeah? So, again, similar to the tawbah evidences, the evidences of istighfar are exactly in the same line. And we have, last time I mentioned to you hadith in Bukhari Muslim, when the Prophet ﷺ said that Allah says, reporting from Allah, that a slave commits a sin, yeah, then comes to Allah and saying, "Ay Rabb, Ya Rabb, Ya Rabbi, oh my Lord, aznabtu zamban, yeah, I have committed a sin, faghfirli, forgive me." So is that he doing istighfar? Clearly the hadith is saying. Then Allah says, "My slave has committed a sin. He knows that he has a Lord who can forgive his sin and also who can take him to account for his sin." Yeah. He knows that, yeah, and Allah loves that, you see. Who knows that that his Lord can forgive his sin, yeah, and also he can take him to task for his sin. Surely I have forgiven my servant. And the hadith mentions it happens 2, 3, 4 times. He goes back and does sinning again. Then comes back and repeats the same thing. Allah repeats the same thing again and again. This is despite the Quran saying sincere tawbah. Yeah? And you and I would say, oh, that's not sincere. He keeps on going back and doing the sin again. Subhanallah. It's a bit like the man who got was drinking at the time of the Prophet Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam, and they lashed him 40 times as a punishment at that time. And then he went back and he was brought back again many times over, three or four times. It's not clarified how many times. And when he brought back again, one Sahabi in front of the Prophet Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam started cursing him. And the Prophet Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam told off the Sahabi who's cursing him, cursing the man who kept on drinking alcohol, and saying, do not curse your brother before he loves Allah and his messenger. That shows the Prophet Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam, this man was sincere, even though he kept on falling into this sin. Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam. So there can be sincerity, even though how many of us will fall into doing the same sin again? Yeah, but we sincerely love Allah and his messenger. That's why in the same hadith in Bukhari Muslim, at the end of that hadith, the Prophet Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam said that Allah says, go, do whatever you do of the sins. How many ever times, in other words, I have forgiven you. And I explained this hadith to you, that a believer who's sincere in tawbah doesn't understand from that. Only a corrupt heart would understand from that, that I can go now and I've got a free green card to do as much sinning as possible, as shaitan, follow shaitan as much as possible, and at the end just keep doing tawbah, make a mockery of it. That's not the idea. The idea is of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, two ideas. No children of Adam are free from sin, number one. Number two, never despair that Allah will not forgive you if you turn to him, yeah, in sincere repentance at that moment for that particular sin. Yeah, always the door of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is open. Glory be to him. He is the most merciful, the off-forgiving. That's why off-forgiving again and again and again. And we mentioned some evidences for that last time. So there, if you notice, is istighfar. The person's asking for forgiveness. Yeah, and Allah's forgiving. It doesn't say Allah's forgiven just the small sins. Yeah, and usually the idea he's come for big sin. Yeah, in big and small, including the hadith about the man who came to the mosque and said, I've committed a sin that requires Hajj punishment, indicating, Prophet didn't clarify where it was, but it could be any of the big sins. Yeah, but he said, your salah, you've prayed salah with me, you've been forgiven. Sallallahu alayhi wasallam. Yeah. Subhanallah. You know, before I go move on to number three, and this is linked with the tawbah, the need for tawbah and istighfar from all of us. Always. All of us, always till the day we die. Isn't that right, brothers and sisters? Yeah. Even though Ibn Taymiyyah in conclusion will say, that I've shown with these evidences, when I bring them all together, that even if you haven't done tawbah for a major sin, you can be forgiven on the day of judgment. Yeah? Can Allah forgive? Is he right in his assessment? He is, because I gave you the verse before, the one that says, surely Allah will not forgive shirk, and he'll forgive anything besides from that from whomever he wants. This is where there's no tawbah. Because when tawbah comes, even with the shirk, it's all forgiven anyway. There's your evidence. Clearly, it's there in the Quran. So Ibn Taymiyyah is right. But he says this, which is very important. He says, it's a bit like the person knows that I have a medicine that I can take, which can counter poison, which will kill. Doesn't mean to say I carry on taking the poison, just because I have a remedy for it, I'd be a fool. Yeah? It's like, what do they say? Playing with dangerous situation. And don't play with Allah either, even though you know that he can forgive and he is most merciful, most compassionate. You will take your precaution. You rather be the one who does tawbah and istighfar, which is what Ahl-Sunnah wal-Jama'ah say. Yeah? rather than the one who hasn't done it and risk it. Yeah? Risk it and carry on sinning without ever doing tawbah and istighfar. And the Prophet exemplified that, didn't he? By doing istighfar 70 to 100 times a day. Yeah, even though he had his past and future sins forgiven, sallallahu alayhi wasallam. Yeah, and he's our example. So, because the idea of sinning is inherent in us as human beings, yeah, that's why the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam, in a famous hadith in Sahih Muslim from Abu Hurairah radiallahu anhu, قال رسول الله صلى الله عليه وسلم والذي نفسي بيدي لو لم تذنبوا لذهب الله بكم ولجاء بقوم يذنبون فيستغفرون الله فيغفر لهم. By him in whose hand is my soul, were you not to commit sin to us, Prophet ﷺ talking, then Allah will destroy you all, get rid of you all. Yeah? لَذَهَبَ اللَّهُ بِكُمْ. And then bring a people who will sin and then ask for forgiveness from Allah, and Allah will forgive them. And when he says, فَيَغْفِرُ لَهُمْ, do we say, well, maybe, maybe not? Allah is saying he'll forgive. Probably saying that Allah will forgive them. That's a promise if they ask for forgiveness. Yeah. And the idea is brought out in many places, including Allah SWT descending in the last third of the night, asking, and one who is anyone who asking for forgiveness? For surely I will forgive them. Yeah, many places this idea is there. So this is about knowing that we are always sinning, as we'll find in another hadith, which is going to come later on in An-Nawwiz Arba'een, where Allah says, Ya Ibadi, إِنَّكُمْ تُخْطِئُونَ بِاللَّيْلِ وَالنَّهَارِ وَأَنَا أَغْفِرُ الذُّنُوبَ جَمِيعًا فَاسْتَغْفِرُونِي أَغْفِرْ لَكُمْ. Surely, O my servants, you sin by day and by night. That's you and me, brothers and sisters. I'm a sinner, you're sinners. Yeah? And Allah says, you sin by day and by night, and I forgive all sins. There's another promise. Yeah? وَأَنَا أَغْفِرُ الذُّنُوبَ جَمِيعًا. Yeah, so ask forgiveness of me, yeah, and I will forgive you. A promise. This is Allah speaking. La ilaha illallah, subhanahu wa ta'ala, amma yushrikun. So then we come to number three, and that is Ibn Taymiyyah says, doing good deeds. And that I already covered, yeah. Doing good deeds, yeah, wiping away wiping away bad deeds. And we had a long discussion on that last time about good deeds, yeah, even steps taking and making wudu, taking steps to the masjid, waiting for prayer, for the next prayer. Just doing that wipes away good, bad deeds, and also one step wipes away bad deed, the other one is giving a good deed, increasing your station before Allah. So it's doing both. Yeah, and the hadith we mentioned about salah and fasting and hajj and all those wiping away sins about hajj. Yeah, the hadith which mentions about person who does it without behaving badly and does it sincerely, and properly, how they come back as though it's the day they've been newly born from the mother, meaning with no sin. Does that mean they're still carrying major sin? No, it doesn't. Yeah. Amongst the good deeds, giving sadaqah, which will come in another hadith as well. As-sadaqatu tutfi'u al-khatiyatu kama yutfi'u al-ma'u al-nar. Giving in charity to others wipes away, yeah, blots out, extinguishes bad sins like water extinguishes the fire. Kama qala Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. So, next is, he has lots of little discussions, most of which I discussed with you last time. Ibn Taymiyyah has it here as well, actually. And rebuttaling some of the ideas of So number four, he says, now this is not the dua for me, for myself. This is the dua of believers for me and for you. Other believers dua for you can wipe away sins. Is that right? For example, he says, like performing Salatul Janazah on the dead person when they're dying. Because the Prophet ﷺ said, مَا مِن مَيِّتٍ يُسَلِّي عَلَيْهِ أُمَّةٌ مِنَ الْمُسْلِمِينَ يَبْلُغُونَ مِيَةٍ وَفِي رِوَيَةٍ يَبْلُغُونَ أَرْبَعُونَ كُلُّهُمْ يَشْفَعُونَ إِلَّا شَفَعُوا فِيهِ. And in the 41, رَبَّعُونَ رَجُلٌ لَا يُشْرِكُونَ بِاللَّهِ شَيْئًا إِلَّا شَفَعَهُمُ اللَّهِ فِيهِ. Rawahu Muslim, both of them, that there's no person who dies from the Muslims and 40 in 100 at one time, the Prophet Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam, another time, he's actually said 40, even 40 will do. The 40 people do their janazah prayer, not associating it. They're believers, so they're not doing shirk. Yeah? Yeah? They're doing the janazah, and the janazah prayer is asking forgiveness for the person dead in front of them, except that Allah will accept their intercession. In other words, he'll accept their dua and forgive the person. So this is people making dua. Other believers making dua for you can be a way of sins being wiped away and forgiveness. And another hadith, he actually mentions, which is a Hassan hadith. It's a good hadith. It's fine as taking as evidence, and most scholars took it as evidence that if three rows of believers in Salatul Janazah, yeah, then their dua will be accepted for forgiveness. So if you have only a small number of people, that's why it's mustahab, recommended, not obligatory. You'll find many people try and make three rows. Somebody said, what if you only got four people behind the imam? Then of course you can't make three rows. They asked Imam Ahmad that. Then you have the imam and you have two rows behind, two in each row. You can't make three rows after that. So the idea of lots of people coming for the janazah of a believer is of great benefit to them. Number five. Things, aside from people making dua, when somebody dies, people doing things on the behalf of the dead person. Now, salah is not included in that, because no evidence came from Quran and Sunnah that a loved one or a family member has not done their five daily prayers for somebody else to do their five daily prayers. But what has come is for fasting, for example. Yeah, voluntarily, if somebody wants to fast on obligatory fast, can they miss them? Many scholars said yes, some said no. But we have evidence from the Prophet about that, yeah, about doing the Hajj. Yeah, Hajj became obligatory, clear, authentic hadith. Prophet asked, can I perform the Hajj? Yeah, and Prophet gave permission to do so, encouraged it, in fact. So it's not obligatory, but it can be done. And the reward of that, the beauty of Islam in this, as Ibn Taymiyyah mentions, that reward goes to the like calling somebody who's fasting for iftar. When you give them food to break their iftar, you don't take away from the reward of them, their fast, but you're rewarded as well on top of that for giving them food to break their fast. And included in that is making dua, isn't it? We make dua, yeah? We make it in salah, if we make a dua, رَبِّ جَعَلْنِي مُقِيمَ الصَّلَاةِ وَمِنْ ذُرِّيَّةِ رَبَّنَا وَتَقَبَّلْ دُعَى رَبَّنَا غُفِرْ لِي وَلِوَالِدَيَّ, whether alive or dead, my parents, forgive me, forgive them, وَلِلْمُؤْمِنِينَ, and all believers, alive or dead, يَوْمَ يَقُومُ الْحِسَابِ, on the day of accounting, yeah? So this is the idea of sins being forgiven, if Allah accepts the du'as of those believers who are making du'a for you. Number six, Ibn Taymiyyah said, the shafa'a, the intercession of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam on the Day of Judgment. Yeah. And the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, notice in a hadith, which is authentic in Tirmidhi, Abu Dawood, Ibn Majah, the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, shafa'ati li ahli al-kaba'ir min ummati. My intercession on the Day of Judgment is for those who committed the major sins from my ummah. From my ummah. How can it be the minor sins? Because the minor sins, it can't be, because Allah's already promised, and the Prophet says that Allah will blot out the small sins from the believers, yeah? From them just performing their salah and fasting, etc. Yeah? They're automatically gone. And if they do tawbah, then the big ones are gone as well. But here, Ahlul Kaba'ir on the Day of Judgment indicates those who have done major sins and didn't do tawbah. They died in that state. And here, prophets are saying, my intercession will be accepted for such people. So the intercession of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, I could go into more details, but time is running out. Number seven, he says, the masa'ib of dunya, and I'll just give you one hadith which indicates that. The Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, hadith reported from Abu Hurairah in Sahih al-Bukhari, it's also in Muslim as well. He said, the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, ma yusibu al-muslimu min nasabin wala wasabin wala hammin wala huznin wala azan wala aza wala gham hatta shawkati yushakuha illa kaffarallahu biha min khatayahu. It's a beautiful hadith. Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, where is my... He said, there is no hardship that befalls, a suffering that befalls a mu'min, a believer. No suffering, no hardship, no anxiety, no grief or sadness, no worry, not any kind of harm, even a thorn that pricks him or her, except that Allah, yeah, blots out and wipes away a sin from him in compensation for that. Subhanallah. Yeah, subhanallah. So that fits with the hadith which says it's always amazing the affair of the believer, isn't it? Even in hardship, yeah, we never go unnoticed by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is so merciful and forgiving to us. From any of the hardships of dunya itself. Number eight, azab al-qabr. Yeah, and as I said many times in the authentic hadith, we mentioned about the two being punished in the grave. Yeah, there must have been believers. The hadith mentioned two being punished in the grave, because if they're disbelievers, they won't be being punished for those two things. They'll be being punished because they were kuffar, won't they? So the idea that those two are punished in the grave, one who weren't careful about urine falling on themselves when they urinated, getting on their clothes and body, couldn't care less, and the other one, spreading slander and backbiting people, yeah? But I said at that time when I interpreted this hadith that will they necessarily go to hellfire because they're being punished in the grave? No, that may be an expiation of their sin, having the torment of the grave, and then they are forgiven on the Day of Judgment. And then there's still the shafa'ah of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam and the forgiveness of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala on the Day of Judgment to come. So it doesn't necessarily mean. That's why Ibn Taymiyyah says punishment in the grave may actually be an expiation and the sins are forgiven, that there's no more punishment to be had and the sins have gone on the Day of Judgment. Number nine, the fear and trembling of standing on the Day of Judgment in the distress on the Day of Judgment, standing there before Allah for accounting. That itself that itself can wipe away sins. Because not everybody from the believers will be necessary from the seven who are given shade of Allah, aside from which there is no other shade. Yeah, not everybody from the believers is going to be on those seven categories. Yeah, so others, just that itself, the sheer terror of the day, and Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala knows that you and I will be going, others, those who go through it, may Allah save us from it. For those who are going to be going through terror, Allah knows His slaves what they've gone through. Allah may forgive them because of that. And finally, of course, the mercy and forgiveness of Allah. As the Prophet ﷺ said, no person will enter paradise just because of their deeds. Yeah. And they said, and you, Ya Rasulullah, I said, even I, illa an yatagammadani Allahu bi rahmati. And in one version, wa maghfirati, except that Allah covers me with His mercy and His forgiveness. So, mercy and forgiveness of Allah will be needed by everybody. Nobody's going to stand so arrogantly on the day of judgment, neither any prophet, neither the final messenger who will fall prostrate before Allah, and none of us, and say, y'all look at my scales, I've got greater rewards here, etc. I deserve to go to paradise. Do you think anybody's going to have the power and the audacity to even speak before Allah? But Allah doesn't wrong anybody, even an atom's degree. That's what we believe. Not only that, not only is He just, but He's full of mercy and forgiveness. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, we pray to Allah that we are those who are given from His mercy and forgiveness in this world and the hereafter. And may Allah save us from the fire of hell and blot out our sins and make us of those who contribute to that in the things that we're able to do. And Allahumma ameen. Sallallahu ala nabiyyina Muhammad wa ala alihi wa sahbihi ajma'in. Allahumma ameen. Any questions? Sorry, I felt a bit lonely today. Nobody answered anything I asked. And nobody turns their cameras on. It's not a necessity, but anyway. Any questions, brothers and sisters?
Assalamu alaikum, bye. I just want to say jazakallah. It was a beautiful, really beautiful reminder today, actually. Really nice. I enjoyed it very much. So I thought I'd give you a bit of feedback because we're all very useless.
Beautiful words from the Quran and from the Prophet ﷺ. You know, you're absolutely right. Yeah. You're right. May Allah help us to absorb it in our lives, in our hearts, and help us to live by that. We are sinners.
Amen.
Alaykum assalam rahmatullah.
Would you kindly repeat the ayah you mentioned about somebody saying it but not doing the deeds? You said Allah said that, why don't you follow it? What you say with your deed?
Yeah.
What ayah was it, please?
Oh, lima taqwa. That is in Surah 61, Surah Saf. Ayah number 2, I think. Yeah.
Okay, jazakallah. Okay.
At the beginning. Any other questions, brothers and sisters?
Assalamu alaikum, brother.
Alaikum assalam.
How are you? Okay, well.
Alhamdulillah. Alhamdulillah.
Just a clarification. Obviously, Sheikh Zarabos has given us 10 ways which the sins can be wiped away. Are there any others?
Firstly, it's not Sheikh Zarabozo. I went straight back to Ibn Taymiyyah. That's where he took it from.
Oh, it's exactly like Ibn Taymiyyah.
And it's from Quran and Sunnah. And I thought about that. You're right. I thought about Sadaqah. I thought maybe he's missed that, but it's there. Even Sheikh Zarabozo doesn't mention it when he gives his in the translation and the summary, but he did a summary of it. So that's a reason. But even the Sadaqah idea is there in good deeds. So no, I found it really pretty comprehensive, and anything I could think of could be included in those categories.
Jazakallah khairan. Okay, so yeah. Charity, good deeds, obviously, are clearly included within that as an ability for us to...
It's a massive area, isn't it?
Alhamdulillah, good.
That's the Quran said, yeah.
MashaAllah. And also, okay, the other clarification.
Innal hasanat yudhibna sayyiat. Yeah.
Jazakallah khair. And the other clarification was with regards to the Rabbana du'a, Rabbi Jalni Mukimna Salat. Is that, which verse of the Quran is that from?
That is in Surah Ibrahim.
Ibrahim.
You will find it on the last page or so of Surah Ibrahim.
Jazakallah khair. I'll look it up now.
It's the dua of Ibrahim alayhi salam.
Yes. Jazakallah khair. Thank you.
I've taken a lot of your time. So, any final questions before we call it a day? Zafar?
Yes, Sheikh.
We all right? Finished?
Yes, Jazakallah. Just we got next Tuesday off, or you would like to continue?
What do brothers and sisters, are they all right to continue? Because I've got a few weeks that it's going to be Ramadan, and I thought I'm going to stop Ramadan, and you know it could be another month or two before I restart again when Ramadan comes. So at the moment I'll carry on if I feel that if you guys are all right, not having a week off.
Yes, Sheikh, that should be fine, inshallah.
Because I did think we'd cover this hadith in maybe one session, but actually it wouldn't have done it justice. Even it's not the hadith. The hadith is daif. It's the ideas in it, which but hopefully if they come up in another hadith, then we'll have less to say about it then. And but I hope you found it beneficial. I mean, I certainly found the discussion that Ibn Taymiyyah had in his works, and it made me go back and check the source itself. Very useful read. So I hope you benefited from that. That were brought from that as well.
Jazakallah khair.
Okay, just one other point of clarification about the Salat al-Janaza and its intercession. Was the intercession for the, if minimum of 40 persons or 100 persons were to take part in the prayer, would it be an intercession for the person who's deceased or for
everyone
who was involved?
Yes, no, the deceased person.
For the deceased person, okay.
Yeah, it's for them. They're praying for him.
Of course.
Okay.
Jazakallah khairan, Sheikh.
Jazakallah khairan. Take care, inshallah.
Speak next week.
Assalamu alaikum.
Wa alaikum assalam.